welcome to the Church Multiplication Collective podcast. This is a podcast designed to help you multiply like never before. I'm your host, Ed Love, and I oversee the Church Multiplication Collective, which is an intentional community of Wesleyan leaders committed to discovering, developing, and deploying workers for the Lord's harvest. And today we are going to be talking with Doug Preston, who is the pastor at Lifeline Wesleyan Church in Greensburg, Indiana. Doug just recently sent out one of his Lifeliners to plant a new church in Bloomington, Indiana. And I asked Doug to join me on this podcast to share his story and his learning as it relates to becoming a sending church. So, welcome to the show, Doug. So glad that you're here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. This is a great conversation. I love this topic, and I love seeing churches taking responsibility and sending out laborers for the harvest. And that's what it's all about. That's what Jesus wanted us to be all about. But it's not an easy thing to do. There's a lot of challenges involved with that, which you've come to know well. But you're also elated to be able to send out a church planter. His name his nickname is Bogey. Yeah. Phil Bogier, is being sent out, and we did a podcast with him not too long ago, captured his story, and I thought it'd be cool to capture yours. So okay. Why don't you just give us a little glimpse of the backstory here of that unfolding out of your church.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ed. I'd be glad to. I've been here at Lifeline for 10 and a half years. A lot of history here within our church. A few years ago, as far as Lifeline, we were at that time called Greensburg Wesleyan Church. And when I realized when I got here that no one in this community knew who we were. And I came from a marketing background in the secular world and was a plant manager for several years in marketing. And so I knew real quick that I had to remarket the Wesleyan Church in Decatur County or Greensburg proper for us to go anywhere. And so the first few years I was here, that's what I did. We are now, I would tell you, if you walk the streets of Greensburg, they would tell you that we're the fastest growing, most community-minded and committed church in the county. Cool. Matter of fact, I just heard that yesterday from another individual sitting in a restaurant having coffee. We have other pastors even says, you will love on people that none of the rest of us will. And so we took a nickname of probably about 6 or 7 years ago that we were the Church of the Misfits. And actually, Headquarters wrote an article about the Church of the Misfits, and it was about us. And so that's kind of crisis-type ministry, side door ministries. This is kind of how we branded ourselves. And Bogue and Brenda came on staff with us about 3.5 years ago. We had, were out of room, and we had a family life center that was 2 buildings down the road from where we were located at that time. And we started another Sunday morning service. I broadcast our service in there kind of like a satellite church. So I guess this was our testing grounds, and we called it the non-traditional, just the non-traditional. I mean, we made its own music, but we live fed the service in. We set tables, had coffee, had a cookie, you know, with it was just kind of a real casual come as you are. And we did that because we'd started to celebrate recovery. And to celebrate recovery, when talking with the people who came to us, we were getting a lot of participants that would come in and say, you know, I haven't been to church ever in my life, or I haven't been to church since I went to Vacation Bible School. We heard this story over and over, and I heard a lot of guys and gals say, we wouldn't even know what to know if we came to church. We wouldn't even know what to do. And so the non-traditional service, Bogue and Brenda came to run that for us. And we were successful, but decided for many reasons that we would combine the congregations back together. Celebrate Recovery grown with the point that we'd outgrown our Family Life Center. We had to bring it back to the sanctuary, and we started a Hispanic ministry in there. And so this is kind of our journey now, we are an Immigration Connection church, and that kind of led us into that. But I am about 5 years ago, I think, maybe six, I became the church multiplication chair for our district. And I always believe in leading by example. So as we were starting all these other side door ministries, I was trying to lead other pastors into that in the district. And then all of a sudden we come into church planting. And I thought, oh, no, here we go. But if you remember, right, you and I and a couple of our church multiplication boards sat down probably a year ago. And you made a statement that a lot of people find their church planting within inside their own district. Sometimes they're there and just don't know it. I knew that was the wrong thing for you to say because immediately I knew years came because they had church planted before. And I thought, oh, God, no. And but in my spirit, I really kind of knew that this was probably going to happen. Wow. So, and about that time, we bought new property, and now we're on 6.5 acres, and we got a 9,000 square foot building. We're actually building another building. We're in the process of building a gym right now. We've remodeled a parsonage. We play ball. We have volleyball courts now. And before, we didn't have any green space at all. So God has really moved us right next door to our Hispanic population in the city, believe it or not. Most of the ones that attended our Hispanic service live within walking distance now. So we have become a church that is interested in missions outside the walls. Logan and I together have led this church into many things. We have actually shut down Sunday morning service the last 3 years, one Sunday. Other pastors told me we were nuts, but we did it, and we went out and worked in the community. And we didn't have traditional service. We went and spread out to 5 or 6 different places and did other services, even with lay people, did service projects for the weekend. We call it Weekend of Service. Now other churches in town are trying to imitate us with that, even though they told us we were crazy for doing it. Now they're trying to do it. So we've tried to lead the way. And so I guess church planting or church multiplication is kind of, I guess it would have to be us, I guess, if you might say.
Yeah, you got to love that. Yeah. So tell us that all came together and Bogey starts feeling called. And you obviously have, you know, you've invested a lot into him and he's a big part of the community. But then you began to sense that we as a church need to send Bogey and Brenda out to start this new work. And so this all happens. And just describe a little bit of some of those, just you as a pastor, your own internal feelings at that point. Was it hooray, or was it, oh, hang on, this might hurt, or what was that for you? Just describe your own feelings.
Okay. I think it was a combination of feelings. There was some moments that, hooray, look what, you know, God's done through us and with us and, you know, him being part of the team. I would tell you, though, the first couple of months, most of it was very heartbreaking. First of all, Bogue and I are very good friends. Yep. And I think it's hard to find a ministry partner that you can feel your friend and partner in ministry. And, you know, he's the type of guy, or him and Brenda, is that we would love to go vacation with, and we have. So it's not just ministry together. It is, you know, kind of like-minded. Believe it or not, Bogue and Brenda and myself are all birthdays in the same month and are the exact same age. So that happened, I don't know. So kind of a kindred spirit, I guess. And so I would just have to tell you the journey has been, God's taught me some stuff in the last 8 months, actually. When I realized that this is what God was putting on their heart and my heart to release them, I kind of got panicky, to be honest. I thought, ooh, I've got to hurry up an interview. I've got to get him replaced. You know, this has got to all take place. God, how are you going to make this work? I can't, you know, we can't do this ministry alone. And I really felt like God one time in prayer said, stop. I mean, every interview I did, it just flopped. It just did not go. There was no chemistry there. And I felt like God said, stop. And I had to go back to the board and say, you know, I don't know what's going on, but God wants us to be solo for a while. And I still don't know that I understand all that, to be honest with you today. I do believe with all my heart that we are supposed to be the sending church. We're the ones that are supposed to be sending bug and bring. I believe with all my heart that Bloomington is where they're supposed to go. There is no doubt in my mind. Actually, before we even approached Bug and Brenda, Dr. Mark and I had driven by the location that you're going to plant, and I told Dr. Mark, this is where I need a church plant. And I don't want to take credit for that necessarily, but in my spirit, I knew that this is where it was going to be. So even though through the feelings of just have to trust God, there was a sense in the back of my mind that I could always say hoorah because I knew that this is what God wanted us to do.
Yeah. Well, tell me about your just some of those other learnings that you had along the way. What were those internal learnings that you had?
Well, let me go back to put my church multiplication hat on. When I realized that, and I live by this philosophy, even as a pastor, I believe that we need to lead by example. And there's nothing, I mean nothing in the church that I would ask someone to do that I would not be willing to do. And I don't do everything, but I'm willing to clean the toilets if that's what it takes. And so I pretty well knew that God was going to, when we as a district and the district board and the church multiplication board, the church planting is going to be our next hurdle, our next goal, and we're going to wrestle this down and do it well. I knew that we had to somehow be a big part of that. Didn't know for sure how it was going to wash itself out, but I knew Lifeline or me as a pastor would have to have some part in that to lead by example. Now, I can tell you in January of last year, or this year when we decided to do this, August seemed a long ways away. And here we are in August now, and officially Bogan Brennan is not on staff. But last Sunday was their last Sunday with us. And there is, up until probably about a month ago, there would be days in my prayer time, I'd say, God, I don't get this. I don't understand. But I think it's God is now starting to show me. Our congregation is stepping up like they have never stepped up before. In resources, we've taken up special offerings for this church plant, and it's blown me away the money we've been able to raise out of this congregation. The board and the congregation has said, Bogue and Brent, we are going to be a true sending church. We're going to financially support you. We're going to be there on today. This is going to be part of our church. Bloomington is going to be part of our DNA, even though we're, 50 miles apart.
Yeah.
So I think that for me as a pastor, I think sometimes, and I know this, I know all this stuff because I've been pastoring a while, and you go to seminars, you hear this, you hear other pastors talk. But sometimes we can almost squelch the talent within the building or God's brought together because we don't have an open door for them just to fall into ministry. And what we're seeing now as a congregation, I would say a blooming of our congregation. People with tears in their eyes coming up and saying, Pastor, you're not alone. We're here. Wow. Hey, Pastor, if you need me, you know where I'm at. Call me. I'll do anything just to make sure that our mission stays on task. Our focus stays on task. And so I think it's going to be some real spiritual and growth and some real deep commitment for Lifeline.
Oh, yeah. That's great. And I think that's a testimony a lot of sending churches end up discovering. But you don't know, or at least there's that fear that, as you release and you send people and maybe a key leaders, that withdrawal is going to hurt your church in a way that might, you just don't want to go through that sort of sacrifice because, the traditional mindset of most churches, you're the magnet and you have to build and you've got to grow and you've got this pressure and there's all this, you don't send people, you don't give people away. You want to do everything to keep them close to you. And so this is actually the reverse of that, which let's be honest, that's the way the kingdom of God always works, right? I mean, it's always the reverse. And it's the sending. But at the same time, God ends up raising other people up. He ends up blessing in different ways. And time after time, I'm just blown away by the testimonies of that happens in a sending church. When you do that, it's like, I don't know, God has a way of blessing back. Yeah. Not that you do it to get blessed back, but it just seems to happen.
Yeah. I think our church now, our body, our congregation, is kind of sitting on the edge of their seat, excited of what God's going to do next. And I think that's the real value for us as a church is saying that. If I can just share one more quick thing with you. And this was something that's just happened internally, but it didn't happen until we released Logan Brenda. Where we moved and where God had moved us across town is in probably the fastest growing area of our church. If we had to hand pick a place to move to, we couldn't have found a better place. And we actually bought another church that had closed, and we bought it for about 10 cents on the dollar. So it was an awesome gift from God to give it to us. But the YMCA, for an example, came to us and said, could we use your facility to do a feeding program? They said, well, yeah, we want to be, you're right in the heart. We want to use your facility. Now, you think about it, the YMCA has got money and resources and all this, and they said, we'll give you all the grant money. We just need your facility. So starting February the 3rd, we're going to do a five-day-a-week family feeding program.
So very cool. Families,
night, and we're families, community. And they are paying for the whole thing, but we get the credit for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So God's already starting to give back. It's like we couldn't have orchestrated this if we wanted to. And yeah. We're already doing it.
And you have sacrificed financially too.
Yeah.
Tell us what does that picture look like as far as the generosity towards the plant, not only this year but ongoing? What does that look like?
Well, as I said before, I believe if we're going to be, we need to lead by example, and we are building this church multiplication movement here in Indiana South, and so. I talked to the board and said, not all, if we're going to take the title of ascending church, we need to be a true sending church. And they said, what's that look like? I said, I'm not 100% sure what it looks like, other than I know that we got to have some skin in the game. And we're going to have to think this through. We're going to have to pray about this. And we're going to have to ask God what he wants. And then we're going to have to walk in that, with obedience. And so as of today, we have committed, we've already taken up one offering. We've given 100% to the church plant, which was several thousand dollars. We are financially helping pay their salary for the first year starting in September. We decided we'd pay them through August, just as if they were here, even though they're not part of our staff right now. And then starting in September, we're partnering with the district and paying about half of their salary for the first year.
That's awesome.
Then in January, we're taking up another offering that they get 100% for. This is all laid out. This is in our vision. This is in our budget. Congregation knows this. Yep. Then we gave them a sending bonus last Sunday of a few thousand dollars so that we would have. So we will invest somewhere $10,000 plus over the probably closer to 15 over the next 12 months in this new church plant.
Yep. That's pretty amazing.
In a church that we don't have deep pockets. You know, it is the church of the misfits. It is people that are sacrificially giving.
I love that. That is amazing. And I mean, there's and you said your church is, 180 people or so. And there's a lot of people that think like, oh, we can't multiply. We can't do that until we're 500 people, or they got some number or some budget number in their head that, you know, when we get to that point, then we can, you know, do something with the extra that we're going to have, you know, and the problem is you never have any extra no matter what level you're at. And it's like, no, smaller mid-sized churches can multiply too, you know, and you're leading the way in that, and which is phenomenal. And think about how many more people will be reached through this new work that you're a part of.
We've received a few messages here lately of that. You know, we have, as a church, we want to be a sending church. We really do. I really believe that will be our DNA, not just now, but going forward. And we raised the money to build a church for Haiti last year, and we paid 100% of it. For me to think that this small congregation can do that, I mean, it's been the last 5 or 6 years, we have led ourselves into being, a church with multiplication in mind and outside the walls, not just four square walls. And all this has been leading up to us having the spirit that we have right now. I can tell you, our congregation says right now, hey, the first Sunday in Bloomington, we're taking the bus over there.
That's great.
And they'll have my blessings. You know, I hope 50 people go over there that first Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah. Well, that just shows that for a number of years now, you've been developing a culture of multiplication, and now the fruit is there. And that's just such a beautiful picture of the church in motion and on mission and entering into the multiplication phenomenon. And it is so good to catch your story here today. And I just hope it inspires others who might be in the same type of situation that it can be done. Thank you for leading the way as you do. So,
well, let me just say, if I could just, and one thing in closing,
okay.
If God has put it on another pastor's heart, I would challenge them to definitely walk where God wants you to walk, and may not always feel good, but I do believe the reward. A year from now, when we tell our story again, we will really see the fruits. But I am encouraged to what God is going to do in Lifeline like never before because of us being able to release and send.
That is so cool. Thank you, Doug, for being on the show with us. This has been the Church Multiplication Collective. I'm Ed Love, and I'm signing off. Blessings. All right, Rhonda's got to click stop, but you better run. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
Doug, that was awesome. Perfect. That was perfect.
All right. See you, man.
All right.
Okay, bye.
We'll stay in touch.
All right. Thank you.